right. Appreciate that choir, special choir. And we'll have a choir practice tonight at 5:30. If anybody wants to be in the choir, just come on out at 5:30. We're going to practice a couple new songs tonight, and I really appreciate how the Lord's using the choir. But we are looking forward to this morning. I tell you, I appreciate Pastor Tyler. He's been a great blessing to our church, a great blessing to me personally. And the Lord laid on my heart earlier this week. I said, Pastor, why don't you bring the message on Sunday morning? And he was glad to do so. And he's gonna preach here in just a minute. So you give him your full attention, and I know it's going to be a help to you. And before that, we'd like to have some special music. Whenever Kristen's up here, we'd like to have her sing. She's sang here many times, and then her fiance is also, I believe, sings and plays piano. So they're going to come on up here and sing a couple specials for us, and then Pastor Tyler, you come.
I have no fear when Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for those songs that help my heart. A good song can help a service like nothing else can, and a bad one can kill it. And I thank God that we had some good songs here this morning, that the Lord blessed them, pointed our eyes toward Jesus, and I believe set the tone for the service today. Thank you all so much for using your talents for the Lord. And if you'll do that, He'll bless it every time. But I'm excited to preach to you all this morning. I struggled for a while. I talked to Pastor Daniel yesterday at the party, and he said, "You said on anything yet?" I said, "No, I don't have any clue right now what God would have me to preach." But as I was praying and reading and studying this passage, this thought came to mind. I love the book of Jonah. And as we went missions month this month, I have absolutely loved it. It's been a help to me. It's been a challenge to me. But it's also brought back to mind, for me, the times when God would tell me to do something and I didn't do it and just tore my heart up. And then when I thought of that, and I thought of maybe you've been in the same place where you have not been obedient as you should have been. When I thought of this scripture, this passage, this thought, a God of second chances, I thank God He is.
Yes.
I thank God He still wants to use us.
Amen.
See, in the book of Jonah here, we get so focused on Jonah and the whale, but that is not the focus of this book. The focus of the book of Jonah is a God of mercy. God in this book showed mercy upon Jonah. God in this book showed mercy on the very sinful, wicked Ninevites. I thank God we serve a God of mercy. We saw in that song that the children sang that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that the same God that gave Jonah the second chance wants to give you and me a second chance to serve Him today. Maybe you've been where I have been, and I have not done as I should in our evangelism. Today's message will be focused more toward our Jerusalem, because remember, we want to do both. But I want to focus on our Jerusalem today, because that is difficult in the world and we live in today. In our flesh, that's hard for us to do. And I've been where Jonah's at. And if you're honest with yourself, you probably have been there too. And I want to just remind us of how good God is. I want to remind us today that God's not done with you, because if He was done with you, you wouldn't be here. God's got a plan and a purpose. He wants to use you to share the good news with the people of this world. And that's just where I want to be this morning. Jonah chapter number 1. And when you find your place in God's Word, after you get there, I'm just going to read the first two verses starting out. But we're going to cover three chapters this morning. So you get your Bible reading in for the week. Just kidding there. This is three very short chapters. So I'll get you for today anyways. Jonah chapter number 1. You find your place in chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. Please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Jonah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I stand here today just thanking You for mercy upon me. I thank You, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to tell these people, those in the parking lot, those listening online, that You are a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of grace. And if we'll repent as Jonah did, if we'll repent as Nineveh did, God, that You will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and use us for Your glory. Lord, may we just allow You to love on us today, remind us of Your love for us. If there be anybody here that's been where I've been, where Jonah was, not being obedient to You, may You point out in their heart and life today what they need to come to this altar and leave there. And I pray, God, that when they do, well, I know, Lord, that when they do, that You will have mercy upon them. Lord Jesus, we love You. And we pray, Lord, most of all, if anybody here does not know You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray You'd demonstrate Your mercy and grace to them today. Lord, You, as we'll talk about here in a moment, Lord, You did so much to get the message to the Ninevites because You love them. And I pray that lost soul that may be here today, that You would help him to see what all You did to bring the good news of the gospel to them. And I pray, God, You'd save their soul today. pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see here in this passage today, it's very familiar. I'm not going to say anything today that you've not heard before. But we as believers, we need to be reminded of things a lot in the Christian life. At least I do. And Israel did. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all do, because we are very forgetful people. And we get in certain situations, our mind, we just get a mental block. And we need to be reminded of things like this. I just want to walk down through this text, look at, and I want to relate this, like I said, to the missions month and our mission here in our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria that we've been given. And I want to encourage, I want us to see, and we'll point out at the end, the issue is not with the message. The message has power, but the message can't demonstrate its power if it is not taken to the people that it is commanded to be taken to. Right. And we are the mouthpieces God has bestowed that message upon. So as we look at this text, the first thing I want to point out, number one, is the command we see to Jonah and to us as well. The Bible says, verse number 1 and 2, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." So here we see a command to Jonah, a prophet of God, a man of God, a great man of God at that, a command to go to Nineveh. Now, who was Nineveh? I love the Life Application Study Bible, a little note kind of describing that. It says, God called Jonah to preach to Nineveh, the most important city in Assyria, the rising world power of Jonah's day. Within 50 years, Nineveh would become the capital of the vast Assyrian empire. Jonah doesn't say much about Nineveh's wickedness, but the prophet Nahum gives us much more insight. He says that Nineveh was guilty, one, of evil plots against God, two, exploitation of the helpless, three, cruelty and war, four, idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft, and I'm sure many, many more things. God told Jonah to go to these Ninevites. And not only did God say, go to the wicked of the wicked. These people were nasty and awful. But he said, go to a place that's 500 miles away from you. He's telling Jonah to take this message to people he hates and go on a long, grueling, painful trip to get there. And sometimes when God tells us to do things in our lives, just as he told Jonah here, it's not going to be easy. And so many preachers today, they preach that once you give your life to Jesus, it's going to be easy and a bed of roses. But that's not how it's going to be. If you're a Christian today and you watch the news at all, the possibility of something that may pass in the very near future, our religious liberties will be under attack. But our mission remains the same. Even though it may be difficult, it is to take that message of the gospel to the lost world. The Bible says to us in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we see here Jonah's told to go to Nineveh. And we're told to go to all the world. That means we're told to go to the people around us that may be our Nineveh. The people that may be wicked and ungodly. People that we may not want to witness to. We're going to see in a moment, Jonah wanted these people to die and go to hell. Jonah could not stand these people. Jonah was a racist toward these people. But Jesus died for these people. The Lord loved these people. And we don't miss that in this passage of Scripture as we go through that. What all God did to get this message to Nineveh. He wanted them to know that he loved them. They were wicked and nasty and often. They've probably done things we'll never do. But God loved them. God loves everybody. The message of the gospel is for everyone. And it is commanded to us. It was commanded to Jonah to take it to them. That means you've got to get up and go. That means we've got to do some things. And I'm preaching to me this morning just as much as I am to you. Now, like we've talked all month, we may not be able to go to Africa as Pastor Daniel can, but we can go to our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We can do that. That is commanded to us. So we see the command to Jonah. Go to Nineveh and cry against it. Tell them of their wickedness. And tell them, I believe he told them, that there's forgiveness if they will repent. So we see the command of Jonah, but the command to Jonah. Now we see the choice of Jonah. And I want to point out, you have a choice today. You have a choice whether you want to serve God or not. God will not make you serve him. God, the Lord is a perfect gentleman. He will empower you and help you and go with you if you go. but he will not make you serve him. And we see here Jonah chose not to. Look what it says in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I want to point out his track here. And if we live in disobedience, and maybe not even necessarily running from God, but if you disobey God and you continue to go on without repenting of that, it will continue to lead down, down, down. If you leave sin undealt with, disobedience undealt with in your life, the track will go down, not up. Look what happens here. And went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into the pit, or down into it, to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah here was trying to get away from God. But you can't get away from God, just so everybody knows. God's everywhere. God's everywhere present at all times. But so many times we as believers, me as an 18-year-old boy who God was trying to deal with about preaching, I guess I thought I could get away from God, that I could get away from God's call, but that is impossible. And we look, it says here, but the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And not only do we see that, and I'll hit it again later, but in chapter 2 it says in verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Jonah, because he was disobedient and running from God, God took him to the rock bottom. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to wake us up. I've been there, and I believe maybe some of you have been there as well. That's what it takes to wake us up. But we see here Jonah's choice was to run from God. Jonah's choice was to be disobedient to God. Why? Because of animosity. We see Jonah, I mentioned earlier, was a racist. Jonah could not stand these people, and some may say rightfully so, because they were evil and wicked, and they hated the Jews as well. I mean, they were awful. We see Jonah's feelings toward them in chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, the reason I ran in the first place is because I knew you would forgive them if they repented, because he hated them. Jonah was a racist toward these people. He wanted them to die. And they were sinful people. But that's no excuse not to take the message of the gospel to them. That is the spirit of many people in the world today. They hate each other. And some Christians are not acting as they should. But we have got to remember the gospel message is for everyone. It's not just for the people that we like or that are like us. It's for the people that may not like us, or that may hate us, or that may want to shut our church down, or that may do everything they can to destroy us. The gospel message is for them as well. See, Jonah made his choice there because of animosity. And I also want to point out another one. Moses, remember, God commanded him to speak on his behalf, and he made his choice because he felt he did not have the ability to do it. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent neither heretofore nor since that I have spoken unto thy servant. For I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So we see here that Moses made his choice. He didn't want to go speak on behalf of God to the people he was told to, because he felt like he did not have the ability. And maybe you're here today as I have been, and you won't live for God or speak on behalf of God as we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because you feel like you don't have the ability to do it. Well, the answer is you don't. You do not. When God called me to preach, I did not have the ability to do it. I've told the story so many times in sixth grade, just to give you how I felt about my speaking before people in sixth grade. I was supposed to give a little speech with one little note card, get it and sit down and be done with it. And as I got in front of the class, I began to speak and I began to read my note card, and I got so overwhelmed and so nervous, I had to storm out of the room and go vomit because I was scared to death to talk in front of people. And it's been like that throughout my entire life. I was scared to death to talk in front of people. But you know, when God gave me the ability to do so and put the things in place to help me to get better at it, when I surrendered to Him. Amen. When I said, God, I can't do it. I'm scared to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. But I will surrender to do what You want me to if You will help me to do it. And I did that, and God has helped me ever since. Some of you may say, well, maybe you need to get a little more like you used to be, Tyler. I know Carrie probably feels that way. But God gave me the ability to do so. See, God, I've said so many times, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If they'll just be obedient to do what God tells them to do. You can do it. Not in your own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Don't forget. That was another one I was floating around. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Because that's the only way we can live the Christian life. I mean, Adrian Rogers gave a wonderful illustration of it's kind of funny, but a guy got a beautiful new car, had all the bells and whistles, but you always saw this guy run around with his brand new, powerful, beautiful car, pushing it. All the time. He would just push it everywhere he went. And sometimes he'd catch a downhill stretch and it'd be a little easier to push, and then sometimes it'd be harder going uphill. But this man, he had a great car, a powerful car, but all he did was push it around all the time. But then one day somebody came up to him and said, hey, let me show you something. And he showed him an ignition key. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, that's an ignition key. And you put it right here. And he showed him how to turn it on. And he turned it on, like a car, obviously. And then I was like, no way. And he realized the power that was available if he would just use it. And that sounds really silly. And when Adrian told it, I thought it was silly too. But the illustration was, there are so many believers are living that way. We're trying to live the Christian life in our own ability. And that's why we fail, and that's why we fall, and that's why we give up. Is because we realize we can't. But there comes a point where we've got to take that ignition key, which sounds so simple and easy, put it in the ignition, and fire it up, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't imagine what God can do through you. If you say you don't have the ability, you're right. But God does, and that's why He chose you. So that when He does give you that ability, people knew who you were beforehand. People knew I was the bashful, backward, didn't speak well in front of people guy. So when I do speak, they say, God's working in that man's life. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He will give us the ability. That's why Moses made his choice. And then thirdly, we see Jeremiah made his choice initially because of his age. I'm just trying to kick out all the reasons people would say, well, I can't do that today. Jeremiah's was because of his age. Jeremiah 1:5-8, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah said, I can't do it because I'm too young. Maybe that's your excuse today. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm too young. Or maybe you say, well, I'm too old. God's done with me. But all I care about is that Brother Chris is older than me. He's 30 and I'm 28. He's an old man. He's got me by 2 years. I was wanting to work that in somewhere. But age is not an excuse. God wanted to use me as an 8-year-old boy. Or He wouldn't save me then. Boys and girls, I believe everybody on this row is saved. God wants to use you now. Not when you get older, He wants to use you now. Amen. If you'll just surrender to Him. You may say, oh, I'm scared. What does He want to use me to do? Tell people about Jesus. If nothing else, He wants to use you. And if you'll just surrender to that, He will use you. See, so many churches, I'm afraid, they're good at getting the kids saved, and then they kind of just push them to the side until they get a little older. Then they'll begin to disciple them and show them how to grow. But God saved them when they're young to use them then. Some kids are more willing to be used then if we'll show them that at that age than adults are now. Age should not be a factor. Ability should not be a factor. And definitely animosity should not be a factor. But that's why Jonah made his choice. And we see the choice of Jonah. And I want to ask you, what is your choice today? The command is to all of us, and you have the same choice that Jonah had. Will you go? We see Jonah's choice was the wrong one. And number three, we see, because of that, the chastening of Jonah. And I kind of already read through it a little bit, but I'll go through it again. And I want to point out, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." We're about to see God whoop Jonah, but not because He's mad at him, but because He loves him. And that sounds crazy. When I was a little boy, I thought my dad was crazy. My dad loved me a lot because he whooped me a lot. But I look back now and I say, thank God for that. Because He loved me. And God is doing this in the life of Jonah to correct him. And let's not overlook this. God is chastening Jonah here because He loves Nineveh. Don't forget that. God wanted with all His heart to get this message to them. Let's look at what Jonah went through here. Verse number 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Look at that. Jonah there, verse number 5, it's scary when you are disobedient to God to the point where it doesn't bother you anymore. That's a dangerous place to be. I think that's an example of a seared conscience. You're disobedient to God long enough. If you're living in sin and you're living in disobedience, you're not doing what God tells you to do and it doesn't bother you and you claim to be saved, something is wrong. That's scary. So then we see Jonah is here, and we see that when somebody comes to this point, God has to take drastic measures. Verse number 6, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." And that was not by chance. God wanted these men to know what the deal was. Now, they may have thought it was just random, but God's telling them, hey, this is the reason you're in the trouble that you're in. And they said, everyone to his fellow, verse number 8, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So we see here, Gentile sinful mariners had more sensitivity to the fact that they realized that what Jonah was doing was wrong, even more so than Jonah did. Verse number 11, "Then said to him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging." I want to point a little sidebar out here. Notice that God basically told them, Jonah is the reason you're in this trouble. And so many times as believers, as we hear a powerful message, we're reading the Bible, and God says, that's what you need to deal with in your life. That is what is causing. Sometimes God sends us through things like he did Jonah to get us to the point to realize what the issue is. God here told these mariners, he's the reason you're in this trouble. And so many times in my life, God has said, this is the reason that you're going through this. Yeah. And so many times, I find myself trying everything in the world to get around it or to get over it in a different way when all I had to do was get Jonah out of the boat. Sure. Sometimes storms in our life, when God shows us what we need to deal with, the key to getting the storm away is to get Jonah out. Whatever that Jonah is in your life that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be, get it out. Because when we see here, when Jonah got out of the boat, the sea ceased from her raging. Now, not every storm is that way, but sometimes God sends his people through storms to show them something that they need to change, and if they don't, they'll stay in that storm. Or you get rid of Jonah, and peace will come. That's just a little side note there, but I couldn't let that go by as I was studying for that was there. We got to deal with stuff in our life. When God points it out, deal with it, not other stuff. Don't be like Israel and get rid of all the easy stuff to get rid of. Because that's what they did, but all the good stuff they kept for themselves. That's why Samuel said, what are these bleating of the sheep that I hear? They kept the good stuff, but they didn't do what God said. And because of that, God had to deal with it. So we see there, we've got to get rid of it. So we see the command of Jonah, the choice of Jonah, the chastening of Jonah. We see here, as we keep going, we see what happened to him. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Don't you see there? God, in the midst of Jonah's disobedience, I believe converted these mariners. It just shows that God doesn't need us to save souls. He doesn't need us, but he wants to use us to do it. He showed Jonah. He's like, Jonah, I don't need you. I can do it with or without you here. But I want to use you. And we see here that these mariners, I believe, were saved. Now, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And maybe you're here today and you're like me, and I can think of several fish bellies I've been in my life that God had to get me to. But looking back now, I thank God for the fish's belly. I thank God for that. Because in that, he demonstrated his love for me and drew me to him in repentance. And I praise God for that. And that's why God's doing this with Jonah. It's not like God's up in heaven laughing and saying, well, let's just throw it in there and let a fish eat him. No, God wanted to bring him to his rock bottom because he knew that's what it would take to make him look up. And if we're disobedient long enough, the same thing will happen to us. So we see the chastening of Jonah, but I want to point out verse number 4, the contrition of Jonah. Or not verse number 4, but point number 4, the contrition of Jonah. Chapter 2, look at Jonah's prayer. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I want you to know today, if you're a child of God and you feel like that's where you're at, the belly of hell, you believe that you're so far out of the will of God, I want you to know that God will hear your prayer of repentance, even from there. No matter where, God heard Jonah, as he describes it, in the belly of hell. And if you'll turn to him in repentance as a child of God, he will hear your prayer as well. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Listen to this. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. He said, it took God bringing me to near death to point my eyes toward him. And sometimes God's got to do that. And some of you, I believe, I've seen heads nod and just, I could feel in the room right now that you've not necessarily been near death, but you have been in a troubled place. God had to take you there to point your eyes toward heaven. And looking back at those things, if you've repented and God's using you now, praise God for His mercy in that situation. That doesn't seem like mercy, but it was God's mercy there that He spared Jonah, and He pointed His eyes toward him and forgave him when he prayed and asked Him for forgiveness. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. So we see here the contrition of Jonah. I want you to remember the same God that forgave Jonah is the same God that will forgive you. And I want you to know here today, if you're a child of God, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven. Let's not get confused here. We're not asking forgiven to be resaved. We're not asking forgiven because God hasn't forgiven that yet. But when we sin, when Jonah sinned, fellowship with God was broken. Not relationship, fellowship. And God can't use somebody that's not in fellowship with Him. Man, God, we see God could use Jonah, but God wants to work through Jonah, not in spite of Jonah. God wants to work through you and me, but He can't do it if there's sin in our life. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see there, if we'll just agree with God, that's what Jonah had to do, agree with God, He'll forgive and cleanse. And I want to point out there, He's faithful and just in doing so. Why? Because of what Jesus did. God can forgive us and cleanse us when we as His children let Him down, because when He sees us, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be forgiven and cleansed because of Jesus, and I thank God for that. He's just in doing so. Every time we sin, we deserve to split hell wide open and lose our salvation. But if you're a child of God, even when you sin, you're still in the hand of God because you're His child. And if you'll confess that and forsake that sin, He will have mercy. That's the next verse. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Maybe you're here today and you've been where I've been many times in my Christian walk. I praise the Lord, I've been saved. I got saved in 2001, so I've been saved a good while, and I thank God for that. But along that way, I found myself in the well's belly more times than I'd like to admit. But I will say, every time that I have confessed my sin to Him and forsaken that sin, He has been faithful to His word. He has forgiven and cleansed me, restored the fellowship, and begun to use me again. God wants to use you still today. As I was thinking of this message, I thought of Peter, who denied Jesus, and it will forever be written in the pages of Scripture. But if you go to John chapter 21, you see Jesus come to Peter. Peter thought God was done with him because of what he did. But three times he said, do you love me? Really what he was doing, he wanted Peter to realize what he'd done. But when Peter realized what he'd done, he kept saying, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He said, I'm not done with you. If you'll just repent, forsake, and serve me, I'll use you again. And I believe that's what God wants me to tell you guys today. It's what He wants to tell me, if nobody else. If we'll repent and forsake, He will have mercy and He will use us. And I thank God for that. He did that here in the life of Jonah. Jonah repented. And then we see next the compassion of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 10, verses 3, verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. That's probably my favorite verse in the book of Jonah. Because God didn't have to. God could have left him in the fish's belly and he would have been no less God. But He loved Jonah. And He loved Nineveh. So He had compassion on Jonah when he confessed that sin to God. He spoke to him again. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It's the same for us today. Maybe you've been disobedient as I have, but today God is showing you that if you'll repent, God will have mercy, and your mission's still the same. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I thank God for his compassion toward Jonah, just being faithful to his word. I thank him for that. Then we see the compliance of Jonah in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Jonah goes and does what God tells him to. And it's not some extravagant message. He just preaches the simple message God gave him. So Jonah rose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So we see there, Jonah was obedient. And now I want to point out in conclusion, what happens when we obey God. So I want to remind us again, like I said at the beginning, the power is not in the messenger. The power is in the message. The message was going to do its work, but the message had to get there first. And look what happened when Jonah finally was obedient, did what God told him to, in the rest of the chapter. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not?" I thank God that we don't have to wonder today. When we tell the lost world, we don't have to wonder if God will repent of his fierce anger. We can tell him he will. Right. If they'll place their faith in him, repent of their sins, he will. And I thank God for that. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. That just means he didn't do what he said he was going to do if they didn't repent. That he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So we see here that when Jonah was finally obedient, the message worked. And I believe that's one of the biggest issues in the world today. It's not the message's fault. It's not the gospel's fault. It's the messenger's fault. And we're not going as we should go. Look, the Bible says, in closing, Romans 10, 13, and 14, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the simple fact of the gospel. But, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But for someone to be saved by the gospel, they have got to hear it. And that means they've got to hear it from us. The lost world does not have the seed of the gospel. We do. And for the most part, the United States of America is in the shape that it's in because believers have been Jonahs. And myself included, a lot of times, we've been told to do something, we haven't done it. And we've sat in the shadows for years and years and years when the message is ready and raring to work with power. But we have not done what we're supposed to do. We think, well, that's not going to change them. The gospel has power. Just try it. See what God will do. We see here one of the greatest revivals ever recorded happened because of a short, simple message of a prophet who God had done a lot to get him there. But when he did it, God used him mightily. He wants us to be a part of his work like that. And all he wants us to do is proclaim the simple message. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Tell people what Jesus did for them. Tell them where they're going if they don't. That was the beginning of Jonah's message. Tell them where they're going if they die without Jesus. But tell them Jesus died so you don't have to go there. And that message has power. And I thank God for that. I thank God today that we serve a God of second chances. And it's more than second chances in my life. It's been third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. It just that would have made a long title there if I'd have kept going. But I thank God he will give us another chance. You know how I know that? Because you're still here. He's not done with you. He wants you and me, if we've got anything in our life that doesn't need to be, to come to this altar, to confess it, to leave it there, to get up without it, and ask him to empower us to forsake that sin. And when we do that, he will have mercy and he will use us. But not until we repent. Don't be like Jonah. Don't disobey to the point where God has to take drastic measures. Keep your sin list short. Deal with it now, today. then you can leave here and be used by God and for His glory in this dark world. Because right now the gospel is ready and raring to shine because it is getting darker by the second. But the power of the gospel has not changed. We've just got to take it. And you may say, well, I can't do it. Remember, you're right. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you'll let Him, He'll do it. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Thank you all so much for your kind attention today. Studying for this message and praying over it. This was a